Recorded from the Oklahoma State University Stillwater campus, this is the Inside OSU podcast. Here are your hosts, Megan Robinson and First Cowboy Darren Shrum.
Hello and welcome to the Inside OSU podcast. I'm Megan Robinson along with co-host First Cowboy Darren Shrum. We took our show on the road this month, and we are recording from the McKnight Center of Performing Arts with a member of the New York Philharmonic, trumpet player Ethan Bensdorf. Ethan, thank you so much for joining the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, welcome.
So you were saying earlier this is your third time in Stillwater. What are your thoughts on the McKnight Center?
It's a fantastic facility. The whole multi-purpose space, the quality of the sound and just all of the fixtures and the details are really, really remarkable.
So you came in 2019, I think, was the first time, right?
Yeah.
So kind of curious, what did you expect coming to Stillwater, Oklahoma? What did you think you would find, and how did it impact you?
I'll be honest, I had very low expectations.
Okay. Hard to be disappointed when you do that, right?
Exactly. That's so, my motto in life anyway. Right.
That was me too, my first time here, so don't feel bad.
I was honestly, I guess, pleasantly surprised. I came twice in 2019. I came once on a tour advance with a couple of the staff members and with the touring agency that we use just to scope out the progress of the hall and hotels and stuff. I got a chance to see everything sort of in progress and then later on as a finished product. So the way everything came together was amazing. Stillwater is a beautiful town.
Thank you.
Do you call it a town?
I didn't really have anything to do with it, but it is pretty.
Yeah, it is.
It is a town.
I have to say the hospitality is top notch.
Good.
And everybody has been super welcoming from the beginning. So
we try to treat everybody like family here. So
it shows. Yeah.
So I've got another question for you. So I'm kind of, Megan, don't mean to jump ahead here, but so.
Fine.
Other universities, do you guys have this sort of relationship with other universities across the U.S.?
Not quite like this, but we've had some relationships with schools.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to ask how it compared and how the facility compared and type of things.
It's very cool to have a brand new facility like this. So, I think we played the inaugural concerts of the McKnight Center.
I was here.
And that in itself is super exciting to be a part of that.
Sure.
We had a similar residency with the University of Michigan, and that's very different because they have a very old concert hall. It's huge. It's a beautiful space also, but to be able to open up a concert hall like this in a place like this is really special.
You bet.
For those who might not be aware of this residency that you have at Oklahoma State, can you just elaborate on the partnership with the university?
So the whole orchestra comes down for a weekend, and we play three concerts as a full orchestra. And outside of that, there are different activities. Certain musicians give master classes. They do some teaching. I was part of a brass quintet that played a kids' concert this morning for some school children, which was a lot of fun. So there's a lot of activity going around, and you can sort of feel the buzz everywhere in Stillwater.
You're a trumpet player. What drew you to the trumpet?
I started playing the piano when I was 6 years old, and I have a couple of different stories about how I started playing the trumpet, but one of them is I started playing the piano and I got really frustrated because I couldn't advance past a certain point on the piano because I didn't have very good coordination between both of my hands, the left hand and the right hand. There's a lot of keys. There are 88 keys on a piano. It's a lot to work with, right?
Sure.
So I saw the trumpet. I said, oh, three buttons? No problem. I can easily do that. But the real story is I went to the Interlochen Arts Camp, which is up in northern Michigan. And that place is sort of deep in my family's roots. So my mother went there as a camper. My older sister went there as a camper. And I started going there when I was 10 years old, before I started playing the trumpet. It was the fall before my middle school band program started. So that summer, I took a pottery class. I took an acting class. I took I was in the chorus, and I took a class called Instrument Exploration, I think, or Music Talent Exploration, something like that. And every day, we got to try a different instrument. So, one day it was the violin, the next day it was the contrabassoon, the next day it was a trombone, and then we got to the trumpet, and it was pretty clear that it was natural for me to make a decent sound, at least when I first picked it up. So at the very end of that summer, at the end of that class period, we were able to choose one instrument and take it to our cabins for a week and sort of mess around with it. And so I picked the trumpet and then played the trumpet and decided to play the trumpet at school the next fall.
Awesome.
Did you ever think it would get you here to the Philharmonic?
No, I'm a one day at a time kind of guy. So if I think too far into the future, I get a little bit overwhelmed. So it was just, I mean, it was sort of a path that I knew I wanted to pursue, I guess, middle of high school. I guess I played soccer pretty seriously. And so that was sort of my extracurricular was like soccer and music. And
sure.
There comes a point where they conflict, right?
Sure.
So I had to sort of make a decision and, I guess here I am.
So you were in Naples, right, before?
That's right, yeah.
And so how did that lead you to New York and trying out? And how is the process to become part of the harmonic?
It's quite the process. So I right before I graduated from my undergrad, I went to Northwestern University.
Yes.
And right before graduation, there was a one-year position advertised in the Naples Philharmonic. And on a whim, I decided to take that audition and won.
Wow. So like how many people were there to try out for that?
This was, I believe, it might have been an invite-only kind situation. So it was a small group. Which,
elite group probably, though.
Yeah, absolutely. But the odds were more, I guess, in my favor because it was such a smaller pool of applicants. Sure. But I spent the year in Naples, which was an amazing experience. The people there are incredible. Some of my closest friends are there. The orchestra is amazing. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't really know about it. They think Naples, Florida, it's sort of a little bit off the beaten track, but it's the facilities there are also incredible. The orchestra's great. The people are wonderful. And while I was there, I knew I was only contracted for 1 year, so I still had to sort of look for what I was going to be doing after that. And there was an audition for the New York Philharmonic that happened. That the audition process started right before I got to Naples, so it sort of spanned about four or five months.
Okay.
The audition process for the Phil.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's insane.
So the very beginning of that process was a preliminary tape that I had to send in to the New York Philharmonic. And they had a set list of excerpts that they wanted to hear. And I believe everybody had to send in a recording for that particular audition. And then that was in September. And then in October, or a couple weeks later, I guess I got a call saying that my tape had advanced and they wanted to hear me in a live semifinal round in New York. So I took a couple days off from my job in Naples and went up to New York and played a semifinal round. And then I advanced to a final round. And then I advanced to a super final round. And then from there, they invited myself and another person for a trial week to play with the orchestra.
Okay.
And then from there, I played a trial week. And during that week, I did some more auditioning and some more playing in addition to the rehearsals and the concerts with the orchestra. And then they wanted me back for another trial week.
Wow.
And so I believe finally they offered me the job at the end of December of 2007.
Wow. Long time.
Long time ago.
So it's been about 15 years.
15 years, yeah.
What's been the best part of being at the Philharmonic?
The music. It doesn't get much better than that. And sitting in that chair surrounded by some of the world's greatest musicians is, I still have to like wake up every day and pinch myself to make sure it's real.
It's incredible. You know, I can play, I tell people I play the radio because I can't really play anything.
That's a skill, yeah.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And to be able to push the seek button and stop it at the right spot. But I don't know if there's still seek buttons out there.
Did you master the play record on a tape?
Yeah, well, I started with an 8-track, so that's how old I am, right? And then we advanced to cassette players and, you know, then CDs. And so now we're at, you know.
Yeah, what's a CD?
Exactly. A lot of people know what those are. Yeah, I did attempt to play the guitar once, so my wife bought me a guitar and I thought I would learn how to play it. And I'd spent a good 6-7 months on it. And so she came home one day after work, and I said, sit down, I've got a song for you to, I want you to listen to. So I played it the first time, and she's like, can you play it one more time? And I was like, oh, gosh. And so it was Love Me Tender by Elvis, which is an extremely slow song already. And I thought, well, so I put it back in the case, and it's still in the closet where it's been for
almost 20. It's hard, right?
It is, right? I mean, how can they expect you to do that, right?
I always thought that how you have to, like, hold your fingers was awkward, and then your hand would cramp. And I played the flute. I mean, it's
same.
And then the piccolo, which is even harder to blow right and get the right sound. And I retired after high school. But I did tell Darren that I got a trip to Disney and a trip to Montreal out of it. So, hey.
Music brings you places.
It does. Mm-hmm. It really does. On that note, no pun intended, what is the best place the Philharmonic has brought you?
Ooh,
besides
Stillwater, Oklahoma.
Besides
that, read my mind. So many places. That's one of the big perks of the job is the travel. We've been all over the place. Some of the most exotic places were, we went to Abu Dhabi, we went to Hanoi, Vietnam. We have a residency in Shanghai every summer. That hasn't happened the last couple of years because of COVID, but we're hopefully getting back there as soon as we can. Every place is different, and it's, you know, I sort of make it a point to try to do something sort of touristy in each place that we go to, even if we have very little time. So often when we're on the road, the schedule is pretty brutal. So we'll have rehearsals, we'll have concerts, but we'll be traveling. But I try to carve out just a little bit of time to do something to make sure I actually see the places we're going to. Because it's very easy to just see your hotel room and the concert hall, and that's it.
Right. It's good that you do that, because I used to work with a pharma company, and we traveled a lot, and all you got to see was inside of the walls of the hotel or the resort, and that was it. And so it's awesome that you got to do that. I've been to Abu Dhabi and Dubai, which are really, really awesome places. And so my first symphony, I guess, I ever got to really hear was probably in the 90s, mid-90s, and we were in Singapore. And the symphony there played for us there at the British Embassy and all that. There was only about 100 of us there, and the orchestra was bigger than we were, right? And it was incredible. I was blown away, because I'd never really been accustomed to listening to that type of music. And I was amazed at just the sound, and the whole experience was incredible. So I really enjoy it now, but it took that, you know, initial experience to go, wow, this is pretty cool. Yeah. So.
I don't think people realize how much goes into this. Like, this is not a hobby. This is a job. Can you describe the training process so people have a better comprehension of what you go through every day?
I can't remember the last time I traveled anywhere without my instrument.
It's right here with you now.
It's right here behind me. But, you know, even vacations, I was just scrolling through social media today, and there was a trombone player who was on a beach in Thailand practicing his trombone.
Did it go to France with you last week?
It did, yeah. Yeah. So I do sort of take some time off in the summers, just for physical but also mental health, and just sort of reset everything. But it's always tough to get back into things. It's like being an athlete, right? I mean,
sure.
What we do is very physical, and we use muscles, and we have to be in top shape to do what we do when we're in season. And the last couple of years have sort of been this weird on and off thing with COVID, but we're back in full swing.
Do you ever play like different types of music, like when you're on vacation or something and there's a jazz band going or anything like that? Do you enjoy, or are you allowed to do that? I don't even know.
No rules, as long as we show up to work on time.
Okay, it's all good. Right. So you can moonlight if you want.
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
That being said, I wish I had those skills. I mean, I wish I could play jazz. I admire those folks so much with what they do and the freedom with which they play. It's like learning another language, right? I mean, it's like, so I've always been very classically trained.
Sure.
And, you know, the first question I get when I tell people I play the trumpet is, oh, you play jazz. I wish. And it's, you know, as soon as the music is away from my stand, as soon as it's taken away, my brain goes kind of blank and I freak out. So I need that sort of security blanket of music in front of me a little bit. But those people who can just make up music on the spot like that is amazing.
It's crazy.
when you were talking about, you've been in this for 15 years just about, but you were talking about the audition process. Is the New York Philharmonic something that once you're in, or do you have to re-audition every year?
So the orchestra world as a whole is once you're in, essentially you're in. So we're all tenured. Once you win an audition, there's a 10-year process, much like academia. And each orchestra is different, but it spans usually anywhere from 1 month to 3 years, let's say. And during that period, the musician has a meeting or meetings with the committee who hired them and the music director, the conductor, just to give a little bit of feedback. And at the end of that process, you are either granted tenure, or sometimes they extend the process because they're not quite sure and they want to hear more, or they say thank you for your time, but we're going to look elsewhere.
So how many times, 365 days in a year, how many nights do you guys play? How many
events? I should know this.
Approximately, I'm just curious.
I mean, 175.
Half. Wow.
Maybe.
Almost every other night.
So we'll have about usually between 3, 4, or 5 concerts sometimes in a week. Wow. when we're in full season.
Okay, good.
Do you ever get tired?
What time is it? Yeah. it's funny because I feel like I'm still also getting used to being busy again. And many of us who play in the New York Philharmonic also teach quite a bit. So there are a lot of music conservatories in New York City or New Jersey or in the tri-state area where some of my colleagues will also teach almost full time.
Right.
So I teach at the Manhattan School of Music and have students there. So I try to fit in between our work schedule at the Philharmonic. I try to fit in some students here and there. And yes, I a day off, as I said, is sort of never really a day off, but I try to rest as much as possible to be in the kind of peak performance shape that we have to be in.
Your face really lit up a while ago when you mentioned the students this morning. So I thought I was going to ask you if you did teach, but you answered that. So yeah, you could tell that was something you had a passion for. So.
Yeah, teaching is sort of in my family blood. Both of my parents were teachers, my grandmother teacher. So I sort of grew up around that and love kids. And so yeah.
It's great.
Is that something you consider doing when your time in the Phil comes to an end? Or have you not thought, sorry, you're one day at a time.
Exactly.
You're one day at a time.
Right.
You're one day at a time.
Yep, absolutely.
Sorry.
That's okay. No, I mean, I can absolutely see myself teaching more, but I'm very happy with where I'm at right now. So
what is the, one more question, and then what is the longest tenure? What's the longest currently in your group?
Currently, I'm not sure, but my first season with the New York Philharmonic was our former principal clarinet's 60th season. And that was his final season. He retired. He made it to 60 and then he quit.
How old was he?
I believe he was 78 years old, still around. And
so he started when he was 18.
He started when he was 18 years old. Yeah. So he's a legend.
Must have been really good. Yeah. Sure.
But there are people out there who, I mean, they have very long careers in an orchestra.
I mean, you're a quarter way there. So at this point, just keep going.
Exactly. One day at a time.
Exactly. And before you know it, you'll be at 61.
Yeah.
New record holder. Well, Ethan, we know you have a very busy schedule this weekend here. We're so appreciative to take the time to talk to us. On behalf of Darren and myself, thank you all for listening to this episode of the Inside OSU podcast. Go Pokes.